counting you down to another weekend of NFL football. This is your NFL preview show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. We continue on with the NFL preview show. Remember, Eric Weddle joins us every Thursday from 12 to 1. How great was that conversation, though? That was fun.
I love the insight. I love his thoughts on the game. His perspective is always unique. I love that he lets his personal life out a little bit to let people kind of peek in on what kind of person he is. You know, mentions his religious affiliation, mentions, you know, what he's doing in grooming standards. I don't know if I like the stash and the flavor saver, but I haven't seen it on him.
I'm sure he can make it work.
Yeah, he's a handsome fella.
I don't know if that'd be a good look for us.
Oh, it'd be horrible for me because I got that bright red mustache hair.
I haven't tried to grow a mustache.
You know, that's what I'm repping, right? You guys don't get in here very often, but that is what I'm repping.
No, yeah.
You got a lot of salt in the pepper on your stash, brother.
I'm 40.
I don't think most 40-year-olds have that much white in there. You're nearly Einstein up top.
Okay, stop.
It's getting gray, buddy.
Looks like the Zone's version of Sam Elliott over there with that mustache.
It's what's for dinner.
Oh, I love that.
Which is not a dig at all, because all of us wish we were half the man Sam Elliott.
I know, isn't he great? He's so good.
All right, NFL games coming up this weekend. Tonight, the Browns and the Bengals. Are the Browns going to show any signs of life tonight?
Yeah, I actually think that the Browns are going to win this game tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Browns are going to win this game tonight.
I thought Joe Burrow was great in that first game.
Joe Burrow's great, and I think he's going to have some good moments. But if this Browns defense can't find a way to disrupt and get after and harass Joe Burrow, I'll be extremely disappointed. And I mentioned some of the local names. You know, you had Sione Takitaki, who's out there patrolling. I talked about Porter Gustin, who's out there.
They completely forgotten about Porter Gustin.
Yeah, I think he's a two-deep guy. But, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to get out there. He'll take some reps off Myles Garrett, probably take some reps off Olivier, probably take some reps off Adrian, I would imagine. But that's a defense with a really solid middle linebacker. I think Sione Takitaki could be versatile. I think Garrett should be able to disrupt. And I think that what happened with the Ravens last week is a bit of an anomaly. Like Eric Weddle said,
yeah,
I think the Ravens are just really good. And I think offensively they're going to be a threat all year. But I would expect Cleveland's defense to be able to keep the Bengals to somewhere between 14 and 17 points. And if Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, who I think Jarvis is going to be out there, if those guys can't put up – oh, Kareem Hunt – if those guys can't put up more than 17 points, we got real problems. There's a coordinating problem. There's something that's much more – because that is a lot of talent. Even though I don't like Odell Beckham, we all know that guy's talented. That's too much talent to not be able to score 17-plus.
Already some trade rumors that Cleveland's shopping Odell around, trying to maybe get him out of that locker room.
I think that the NFL should trade Odell out of all of their locker rooms. Tell Odell, go play hockey or basketball.
There'll be a GM out there that'll be thinking, our locker room can handle him. We'll give him a shot. You know, and I'm sure out there, there's somewhere, you know, John Gruden's like, get him in here.
See this guy right here? This guy right here's got a lot of talent.
This guy's a football player.
This guy here, he's a football player. All we got to do is, hey, we'll get some of our veterans to help him out. No, you won't. Odell will come in and make a mess out of everybody and everything. But you can't.
Because the Raiders have a track record of taking diva wide receivers into that program and it working out very well for them.
Hey.
Oh, no, they don't. Never mind.
I'm trying to think of what you're talking about right there.
Last year. Lloyd, you want
to? Antonio Brown did not work out for them. But it was only one time. They've only took one chance like that.
How did the Randy Moss thing work?
It didn't. How'd the Alden Smith work? It didn't. And now he's doing great. Maybe it's the Raiders.
Maybe the problem is the Raiders.
Still my team. I don't even care.
By the way, I got a great Raiders story a little bit later on for you.
Hey, Scotty, I'm just looking at they've got JoJo Natson listed as one of 53 tonight. And I just clicked. Did he transfer to Akron?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he got booted off the team. Remember, he had that issue where he got a hold of some teammates' financial information and got booted off the team.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so then he finished at Akron for his senior year.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Matt Wells had to tell him he needed to go play somewhere else. He got himself a little bit of trouble.
Oh, my gosh, I did not know that. Well, he's listed out there for Cleveland tonight.
Yeah, I forgot because he was with the Rams last year.
Right.
Last couple of years. By the way, take a guess on this line tonight because this blew me away.
For the Browns and Bengals, I would bet Bengals by 3.
Browns minus 6.
Oh, wow. I did say I believe that the Browns are going to win tonight.
So
I just don't think they're going to cover that 6.
Not a lot of love for Joe Burrow in that game.
I think that this game is going to be similar to what we saw in the Bengals game last week, and maybe even somewhat similar to what we saw offensively from the Browns, but they're going to be able to score more against this Bengals D than they did the Ravens D.
Going down the list, trying to look at some games here that are that should be of interest. Broncos will take on the Steelers. Steelers a 7.5-point favorite in that game. That's probably about the right line for that one.
You know, I had a conversation with an old buddy of mine that played for the Steelers because I was asking about Mike Tomlin and how Mike handled the Villanueva situation where his offensive lineman wore the name of a different
– yeah.
Of a fallen military – I can't remember if it was his friend or he had a relationship there. And I was blown away by how Mike Tomlin handled that. Mike Tomlin was incredible. Because, of course, he's going to get hammered with it. Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers.
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with this guy about Mike, and he said Mike is incredibly eloquent. His ability to manage personalities and controversy – and he said, nobody manipulates it, manages it better. And Mike Tomlin is in a unique situation with a veteran and a quarterback as old as Roethlisberger, yet some of the young talent that he's got on the defensive side and one on the offensive front. Like, he's managing some incredible diversity in talent, let alone, civil standing and beliefs and what these players are playing for or believe in. He's doing a great job. I think Pittsburgh's going to have a pretty good year. I think Pittsburgh's going to be a pretty tough team if Roethlisberger stays healthy.
I think they're – and that's the big key. He's got to stay healthy because if you go to, Mason Rudolph again, your season's toast.
Yeah, you're 2019.
Yeah, exactly. So if Big Ben stays healthy, they're going to be right there with everybody else. As far as the upper echelon of the AFC. Hey, by the way, back to your I knew you'd find this interesting. Marquise Pouncey, who is a Steeler captain on that team, also has decided to put a different name on the back of his helmet after he found out that the Antoine Rose Jr., the shooting victim that was on the name of the back of the helmet, was involved in a drive-by shooting earlier. And he said that I was given limited information on the situation regarding Antoine, and I was unaware of the whole story surrounding his death and what transpired during the trial following the tragedy. I should have done more research to fully understand what occurred in its entirety. My work with the police, both in Pittsburgh and back home in Florida, is well documented. I don't always feel the need to highlight what I do with the police departments, but I also want to make sure they understand I inadvertently supported a cause of which I did not fully comprehend the entire background of the case. I take full responsibility for not doing more investigating into something that is sensitive to the community and his family, but it is a lesson learned as it relates to political issues that occur every day in our society. And he said that he would be replacing another name on the back of his helmet.
Well, you know, and you've got – you had how many guys that ran out of the field with the name that name on the back of their helmet that maybe didn't understand the current standing and situation. That's why, you know, these causes are really tough. You know, you want to get involved in a cause, and I've done this a couple of times where you get involved with a cause and then you find out that money isn't being distributed exactly how you expected it to be distributed, and the people that you thought would be receiving the money aren't receiving the money, and the cause isn't the exact cause, or the individual wasn't the individual. And, you know, props to Marquise Pouncey for coming out and saying, look, I did not do enough research on who we were representing. Have you heard from any other Steelers?
Nope. They just list him and Villanueva as the only two that have that have broken away from that. But, you know, and I look, I respect that. Here's a man who has done a lot of work with police and understands that he's got he wants to continue that relationship. But he also said, look, make no mistake, we need to do better with racism. Our police force needs to be better in these situations, and we all need to come together to find a way to make a better working relationship.
Well, I, you know, just to go back to Mike Tomlin and him managing these guys and this team, I just think he does a great job. I don't have Mike Tomlin's, I don't have his comments pulled up, but the way he handled it and saying, no, I support, these guys have a belief in something, I'll support it. If one guy wants to put a name and has a belief and understanding of that name, I'll support these guys and their diversity and what they believe in. I'm a pretty big fan of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I think he's great. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that a lot of people would like to play for.
Yep.
And because I think he's, you know, it's really fun, you know, obviously doing the show with you and we've had other professional athletes that have been part, and it's really interesting. At the end of the day, what athletes want is accountability. They want feedback, and they want routine.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's something that Mike Tomlin does. Look, if you screw up, I'm going to tell you you screwed up.
If I screw up, I'll tell you I screwed up.
And if I screw up, then yeah, I'm going to own it as well. We're going to continue to coach you up and make you better, and we're going to tell you how we're going to do it and have a schedule on how we're going to get better and things along those lines. And high-level athletes, they feed on that. They need that.
Yeah. Those are your best coaches that do that, do it really well. They're the ones that will stick around for a while. And I don't know how good Vic Fangio is at that.
Why? What did you do that for?
Well, because, Scotty, I don't know if this
Elway
is the right
stinks.
Guy.
He stink. Football team stinks. You stink.
You did say I. You pointed at me.
I was actually Lloyd. I was
no, Lloyd. You said you stink, and you looked right at me and said that.
I didn't mean it.
So what are the rumblings in Denver right now? Because that was a terrible display of coaching for the Broncos on Sunday or Monday night.
Not good.
If that happened again here in the next 2 weeks, do we see a mid-season change?
I think you should. I think you should have seen a change after game one.
Well, like Eric said, let's not panic. Eric did say, I don't like to come out of game one and panic. But Vic's excuses as to why he didn't use the timeouts are completely unacceptable.
And he did come out on Tuesday and say, I screwed up. I should have used a timeout at this point. He talked about a specific play, which he was spot on. That was the one where he really – but he didn't talk about that after the game. And I think that there was probably somebody, whether it was a offensive coordinator or whether it was John Elway or whoever, he just heard the media barking where he realized, okay, I got to own this. Or maybe he's got guys on his own team, you know, players that are like, why are we not calling a timeout here? What are we doing? And so he owned it and said, no, I made the mistake. That's on me. I need to be better there in those situations. Okay, this isn't a you know, I called the wrong play, and they you know, we didn't get the defense we wanted to, and we were in a bad play, and it led to a turnover or something like this. This is simple game management. It's simple clock management. It's not that hard. You don't need to know a lot about football to know when and when not to call a timeout. That's the easy stuff. That's the easy part of managing a game. The X's and O's and stuff, like, I'll give you a pass on that because I don't know the game well enough to really be able to break it down and say, oh, you know what, you really screwed up here on this play or along that line. You know, I'm sure that those happen all the time. But when you have a blatant, where my 9-year-old son, up to anybody who's played Madden, knows you call a timeout right there, those are the mistakes that are completely unacceptable. You can't have those.
So I actually had to go back and just look at this really quick because I can remember my rookie year coming out of a game. It might have been the second or third game. We lost, and Vic Fangio was lighting up our defense in the meeting room. He was our defensive coordinator, lighting up our defense. And we went in the locker room afterwards, and we had an old defensive end from Penn State, loudmouth, dirty sucker.
Pork chop?
No, wasn't him.
Okay.
And he starts.
You know what's interesting about him? Nothing.
He starts lighting up Vic in the locker room.
To Vic's face?
No, to all of us. Yeah. And he turned to us and he said, did you realize this blankety blank didn't even play football? And I looked and I said, what? He didn't play football? And he said, didn't play a lick of football. Didn't play high school, didn't play college. That's what he said. Now I'm looking back. There is no record of any college playing. I got to imagine he played high school. I have to imagine at some point he put pads on and got on a field. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a great coach. Like, there's an MMA, one of the top-ranked MMA coaches and cornermen who has helped coach, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 different champions. He didn't actually fight MMA. But he's trained it, knows how to train it, knows how to work with the mentality of it. But I think there's a certain level of understanding what it feels like to be in the pads and helmet.
Yeah.
And at least play.
Like, if he's going out there and he's calling out your heart and he's calling out your drive and your effort and those things, then I think that's completely out of bounds if you've never played. From an X's and O's standpoint, like, you know, you need you to do this and this. I could see that a little bit.
You could do it. Leverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the leverage of a play.
Yeah.
And he is a cerebral sucker, Scotty. I'm talking, he internalizes everything. And everything has a number, a percentage, a reason. It has, you know, if you ask Vic, well, I don't understand, on the backside, if we're away from the play and you want us taking a 30-degree step on a 6-inch something, he'll tell you exactly why he wants it. And what it means to the play, away from the ball, and how it'll affect the overall, and eventually you're going to be in the lane to scrape up this tackle. Like, he does have a depth of college or of football understanding, but I think that he's shown pretty quickly. The head coaching reins aren't right.
No, maybe a good lieutenant, but he's not a general.
I when he was hired, I thought, man. Go get Coach Fox back. I don't know why you guys ran Coach Fox out in the first place.
Well, they won a Super Bowl the year after they ran him out.
Oh. Who won that Super Bowl?
Kubiak.
Well, why'd they run him out?
I don't know. Elway seems to be a peach to work for. by the way, our guy, hey, Lloyd, I don't know if you saw this, but there's this, and I referenced it in the conversation with Eric Weddle, but our guy Jason Cole,
yeah,
has written an unauthorized biography of John Elway as the GM of the Broncos.
I've
seen some of these excerpts, by the way,
and it's not pretty.
Is it a hit piece?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And I'm sure a lot of it's deserved. But he,
which is weird because he's like a huge – I mean, he went to Stanford with him. They were at Stanford at the same time.
Jason Cole?
Yes, I believe so.
Maybe he got picked on by Elway in college.
He always seemed like a big Elway guy.
Sounds like Jason. I think Jason Cole got picked on by a lot of people.
Did you see that stuff about him possibly about him being a Raider?
Who, Elway?
Elway.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you
got to
go. I haven't read the whole thing, but I saw a little bit from it. Apparently, he was almost a Raider at one point in '83.
Wow, that would have changed things dramatically. Lloyd would be on here talking about how great John Elway is.
That'd be weird. The Raiders losing by whatever in the Super Bowl. Been great.
All right. Hans and Scotty, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. A lot of these Infinities all priced incredibly low. And let's add on a little 0% financing on these vehicles as well. Imagine 72 months, 0% financing, and you could drive one of these bad boys. You'd be the BMOC, the big man of the cul-de-sac. You drive this thing into your garage, and immediately everybody's neighbor is looking at you in a different light. You become a little bit more affluent. You become a little bit more respected. Your kids look up to you a little bit more. Your boss respects you a little bit more. You probably end up getting a raise out of it. I'm telling you, these vehicles are life-changing.
One of the harder things to believe in the auto industry right now here at Tim Daly Infinity is the 0% financing.
I know, right?
It doesn't equate to me. Like, that's 70. Was it 72 months?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands. Even if you have great credit, you come in here, you get 0% financing, it's going to save you thousands of dollars over the life of that loan.
72 months, 0% interest. It blows me away.
Also, remember, it's got the warranty that lasts forever, the eternal warranty, if you will. Imagine having that car for as long as you want it. You can put years and years and years on it. You can put hundreds of thousands of miles, and that warranty is good to go. Whether it's engine goes out after 5 years, transmission goes out after 7 years, it's covered.
Scotty, you know I just recently drove a transmission out of one of our cars.
I know.
Would have been nice to have the forever warranty.
No doubt. Hans and Scotty, 4594 South State Street, Tim Daly Infinity, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Didn't he just say there's nothing the state is doing to stand in the way of college football? What? Your policy is in the way!
I'm not following that, really. Pro teams are doing it. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
What, is this your first day on radio?
Well, I'll just let it ring out.
Hit the button.
I know, it's across the room. Jake, why are you calling me? Are you just doing that just to bug me now?
I am. I admit it. That was a low blow. Who's calling you this time?
I don't know who that is.
You don't have Lloyd's number in your phone?
Now Scotty's calling.
Phone's ringing, dude.
The Big Show. Weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Counting you down to another weekend of NFL football. This is your NFL preview show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Darren.
We just got one. All right, welcome back. It's your NFL preview show here on the Zone Sports Network. All right, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're coaching Rock's team.
All right.
And Rock's, let's on the defensive side, he's calling out, he's the one calling out the signals and the line shifts and things like that.
All right.
And all of a sudden he yells out, Amanda.
Yeah. What about it?
You'd be like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know, it's mom's name. I thought I'd use it as a call.
Wait. There's a story behind this. Go ahead where you're going, but.
Well, the Las Vegas Raiders, because there's no crowd noise, all of a sudden they were picking up Derek Carr coming up to the line and calling out audibles, and one of them was called Cindy Gruden. Cindy was Gruden.
Was it really?
Which is John Gruden's wife's name.
That's funny. So, Scotty, across the offensive line, some of Peyton's audibles or some of his count calls, if he named the wife of a lineman on the right side, then it was, you know, going to these different positions.
Oh, really?
And this swing, if he named a wife of somebody on the left side, it was a swing to the left. Yeah, and you know, there was definitely wife's names because you didn't know everybody all the time, but and you try to get more common. I'm sure a couple times I confused it, like, oh no, is that my wife?
Or who's? I can't remember who's married to who.
Who's that? Janelle Glenn? Ugh. But
yeah,
I don't know. Did they figure out what that audible was?
Well,
for?
Yeah. John Gruden doesn't know what it's about. He goes, I didn't notice any crowd noise yesterday, but I heard my wife's name. Derek used my wife's name in one of his audibles. So it's not – obviously, the crowd noise isn't an issue. Still trying to find out why Cindy Gruden came up during a game. I got to look into that.
Oh, man.
He goes, unfortunately for me, I could never hear him until yesterday, so I don't know how long this has been going on and what he's been up to at the line of scrimmage, but from now on, he's keeping my wife's name out of it.
Oh, this is not going well.
It didn't seem like it.
This isn't – we're not having fun.
Now, right now. I don't know. I'm just reading it, so I don't know if it was in a joking tone or not. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to pick up on it. Wait a second. He's the head coach, right?
Yeah, I would think. And he's supposed to be the offensive guy, right?
Wait a second.
So shouldn't he know the calls and know the audibles?
Well, okay, so I will say that with some of those calls, you actually have different freedoms at the line of scrimmage to come up with it. Like, it doesn't have to be a specific thing. It's just a thing. Like, a wife indicates something. So yeah. You can yell a wife's – you can give a wife's name as it, and then that reference a certain screen set. Instead of, you know, instead of halfback screen, we go to slip screen or tight end or it's some type of formation shift if we yell a wife's name. And sometimes you get calls that are at the line that are completely random, aren't typically used, because you leave it that way a lot of times so defenses can't pick up on something particular.
Yeah.
So if I yell Cindy Gruden – it's identifying something that a wife's group represents, but I can yell three other wives' names throughout a game. Nobody else could ever figure out, oh, they're calling out wives that represent this screen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just it's more depth in code talk, which they're going to have to get more and more creative with no
crowd
fans.
Noise. Yeah, because now, guys, you can go back and watch the TV broadcast, and you can hear all this stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and you could start to really game plan against it. So there's going to be more that goes into the NFL quarterbacks' calls and audibling and adjustments. And by the way, there's a lot of calls that come off the sideline, and there's a lot of defensive calls for twists and stunts that offensive linemen could pick up on now. So if you're really aware and if you're not creative enough, then if you got an intelligent team, you could take advantage of some of these things. Intelligent teams are going to have a slight advantage. They'll pick up on those calls.
I mean, I will admit, just as a guy who never played even remotely close to that level, it's been kind of fun with no crowd to be able to hear all the communication that goes on the line of scrimmage. And you got the quarterback yelling. You got an offensive lineman yelling. You got a linebacker yelling.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's yelling stuff out. And it's kind of fun. Kind of feels like you're kind of peeking behind the curtain a little bit and hearing some of this stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish that people could kind of see some of the quick conversation that happens in huddles, or if you're no huddle, happens at the line of scrimmage, because that really is some of the fun parts of football. You know, you've got a certain defensive play that comes in, and you know that you've got a backside cut off of some type of stunt. And you know, you turn to the guy that you're backside cutting on, and you're like, hey, just crash down hard, dude. Crash down hard. You know I'm gonna be right there, and you're conspiring, you're game planning, all that between the huddle and the game clock, and then the snap of the ball. There's so much fun conversation that goes on, and strategic conversation that goes on, And then there is a certain aspect of the game where you just shut your mouth and you know what you're supposed to do. Typically, yeah. the guards are just, you just shut your mouth. You're kind of an athletic center is what you are. So shut your mouth and go out and do your pulls and make sure you get on the outside and don't miss your two number dangerous and take care of your business.
Who's the least athletic guy on an offensive line? Is it the center?
Right side tackle.
Right side. Or flip flop based on
backside tackle.
Placed on blind side. Yeah.
Yeah, blind side or backside, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy that is sight side, I guess, would it be of a quarterback? Probably that tackle. Guards are always athletic.
Yeah.
Centers are typically compact but pretty athletic.
But you'll see centers pull every now and then.
Every now and then. Yep. Yeah, Kevin Wyme used to pull quite a bit. Your backside tackles are usually athletic freaks.
Yeah.
They're
those are the guys that make the money.
They're kind of a dexterous, like, I don't know, left, right brain, whatever it is. They're kind of a different cat and character. They're pretty incredibly athletic.
I have heard that, and you've never mentioned this, but, you know, you talk to other guys, and I've asked, who's got the weirdest position group? And I hear offensive line a lot, but I also hear offensive line is usually collectively the smartest position group.
Yeah, as far as intelligence.
Yeah,
yeah, they've got a real depth of intelligence. Football intelligence, not as much as the quarterback.
Yeah,
the good quarterbacks are incredible to talk football with. I told you, I tried playing Joe Germain one time in Madden, one time, and I'm pretty good at Madden, and Joe Germain is a former Ohio State?
Ohio State, Rose Bowl MVP.
Okay, so Rose Bowl MVP. He was with the Rams before he came with the Blaze where I got to play with him. I think he was with the Rams for a few years. And I'm sitting down playing Madden, and I'm not even kidding you. In the first quarter, by the end of the first quarter, he was up like 32-0.
He had you sniffed out, huh?
I'm just like, yeah, and it's the quick calls, it's understanding the walked up safety, which I kind of understand some of that. I understand some coverages, but these guys have such a depth of understanding, and the great ones that last forever, their knowledge goes so deep. But as far as like a typical academia standpoint, offensive linemen are always up there as intelligent, but they're also weird.
Yeah.
Their hygiene is terrible. Their comedy is horrible.
Like not funny or just really like
not funny. And sometimes
or
like,
derogatory or dirty or
no, something dorky.
Okay.
And I've always identified more as a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And then being in the defensive line group. And when I switched over to offensive line, I felt out of place. I'm like, these guys are dorks. Booger picking dorks, man. I mean, I can appreciate, like, they're kinder.
They're nicer to me.
Yeah. They tend to have better relationships off the field than a defensive lineman, but they're weird. And we had a couple strange
Jeff dunks. Saturday weird?
No. Jeff was incredible. Jeff was, man, he was great. Just funny, charismatic, very religious, very family grounded, oriented. He was great.
You know, it's funny, too. You look at guys post-career. Offensive linemen usually slim down, too. And defensive linemen
thick up. They do.
And yeah. I know I'm painting with a huge broad brush here, but.
Yeah, a lot of them do. They thick up. But, were you with me? Oh, no. Was that Ron McBride's?
Was it Gross?
Yeah, it was Jordan Gross.
Yeah.
Was it McBride had, like, a birthday party or something? And I saw Jordan Gross, former Utah offensive lineman, former Panther.
Carolina Panther. It was there forever.
Hall of Famer.
Could be. He's certainly Ring of Fame there at Carolina. I mean, he was there forever and had a tremendous career.
He might be 210 pounds now.
Oh, geez. That's crazy.
He might be 210 pounds. Running a farm in Fruitland, Idaho.
Fruitland?
Yeah. I told you he went back and bought that world's largest pawn shop years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Those pawn shops can make some money.
Yeah, especially if it's the world's largest. Which, by the way, that was false advertising.
There's many bigger than that
Much
one.
Much bigger.
Okay. All right, Anz and Scotty, wrap things up next. We're live here at Tim Daly Infinity right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined in studio now by Riley Jensen, football insider, former Aggie quarterback.
I know how it works here, PK. You just go with whatever I say. You're kind of like the adversary. You don't really push against people. You just give them a nudge really, really far in the direction they're already going. So if I say you hate Utah State, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't stand those guys. You're just like the adversary. Beelzebub in studio.
DJ and Lucifer doesn't have the same ring. Sounds like a dangerous show, though.
DJ and Lucifer?
Yeah, doesn't have the same ring as DJ and PK.
It doesn't change the show at all. It feels exactly the same.
I'm a devil. What can I tell you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Counting you down to another weekend of NFL football. This is your NFL preview show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, it's your NFL preview show. We do it every Thursday from 12 to 2. Today we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Big thanks to the crew here. Good guys and great vehicles, price to move. And when you're looking at lease payments, you're looking at 0% financing options as well. There's no reason you can't come down here and hop into one of these Infinities and become a better human being. You drive one of these things, you're better off. And I know you make fun of me for this, but do the car door test on one of these Infinities. You know how great a car is by how it sounds when you shut the door. And it's like music when you shut one of these doors.
They're a beautiful vehicle, man. And you're right. I try not to make fun of you on that, because when I do get in and I shut that door, it does feel like comfort and safety.
It's like you're sealed in to a wonderful experience.
Yeah, back in your mom's womb.
Wow. Sure. I hadn't quite thought of it like that, but
I was going to try to say something that made that better, but I couldn't.
I don't think there's anything you can say to make that sound better.
Good shock absorption. temperature control.
It's like you're floating on that road.
Dude, I'm trying. I can't make that sound any better. I apologize.
Hey, tomorrow we're going to be live at the Ace Hardware and the store.
It's a big day for you, Scotty.
We have got one listener qualified and ready to go. We need one more. And we've got some other options, and we got some people that have already submitted their info. We will make that selection today. But if you want to compete tomorrow, so just know we'll take care of everything. We'll have a smoker available for you. We'll have the ribs available for you. You don't need to bring, unless you want some, your own, to bring your own seasoning and rubs and whatever. But we'll have everything else available for you. We will have the ribs. You will be there smoking your ribs on site. I'll be there about 5:30 tomorrow morning. So if you're available tomorrow morning and you're able to make some ribs there on site and you want to compete, tweet at me, at Scotty G Zone, at 97.5 Hands, at Lloyd Cole Zone. We need one more person. Now, your morning's going to need to be probably open. So, you know, don't sign in if you're stuck at work all day tomorrow, because that's not obviously going to work. So I need one more person to jump in on this and to compete with us.
I am so curious to see who wins this competition. Like, I know your ribs, and they're amazing. I just don't know what anybody can do to make a more amazing rib.
Oh, see, now I feel like you're setting me up to fail.
No, I'm not. I know how great your ribs are. The last time I had your ribs was, I believe it was the fight party.
Yeah, I think so.
You've brought in some different smoked stuff since that Lloyd and I have had a chance to taste. But those party ribs where we were told to leave after the fight, it was amazing. Those ribs were amazing.
I just thought, you know, it would be best if we all just kind of went our separate ways after that.
No, it would have been best to hang out and had cold ribs in the morning.
But no, look, if you've got a great recipe out there, there's something you're really excited about, you feel like you've got it taken care of, myself, Bob Casper, we've got another listener, and we need one more. So again, if you're available tomorrow morning and you want to come by and you want to compete, let's roll, baby.
How do they submit?
Just tweet at us. Tell us why you should be the guy. And by the way, if a listener does win, we're going to hook you up with some prizes. So a lot is going to be up on the line, ready to go.
We got a couple of different guys that.
Oh, Sam's been tweeting like crazy.
Maybe that's the go-to, man. Loyal listener. I know I've met Sam a couple of times. I don't believe that he is a competition smoker.
What more do I need to do to be selected? Sam, you're in the hopper, man.
Keep the submissions coming. But he would be a solid competitor, along with, I know, a lot of guys.
I don't want anybody that's too good, though.
I just don't know who would want to get in the trench with you. And
oh, me. No, I'm not. No.
It's like somebody signing up to be Mike Tyson's comeback fight. You don't want to jump in the ring with that guy.
No, those ribs aren't that good.
They're good ribs,
they're
man.
Good. No, they're good ribs, but they're not like, come on. I take those to like some, you know, some barbecue competition. They're probably going to finish dead last next to some of these pros. I mean, those guys really know what they're doing.
I don't think so. Not if I'm biting into it. I'm just excited to get free ribs. Like I said, Scotty, stay hydrated tonight.
Yes.
Get at least half gallon of water in you. Get to bed by 8 because you got an early morning. Make sure your spices and the rubs are all packed up so you can sleep sound and not worried about that. Get your mouthpiece in so that your breathing is right.
Sound Sleep Medical.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Sound Sleep Medical, so you're huffing and puffing okay. and let's – I don't want surly Scotty. I want happy and proud Scotty on the show tomorrow.
You know what? And if I lose, you know what? It's all good as long as it's to a listener and not Bob. I just got to beat Bob. That's my main goal.
Are we doing 1, 2, 3, 4? Are we?
Oh yeah, like I would imagine.
Okay, we're gonna rank them.
So okay, well that's
you
a good
might want to sabotage Bob. Bob seems like he's pretty.
I'm worried
skilled.
About Bob. I'm worried about Bob. All right, so you're gonna be a judge. I guess that's a good question. So are you gonna like secretly write down, you know? So we'll give you a plate. You won't know whose ribs are whose.
Correct.
And then you'll just and say, this is rib 1, this is rib 2, this is rib 3, this is rib 4. And then you'll rank them 1 through 4. Is that how we do it? Or are you just going to pick the one you like the most?
No, I think you got to rank them 1 through 4. Everybody needs to know where they stand.
That's why I – look, if I'm 4th, I'll own it, and it'll be fine. And Lloyd, I'm sure, will let me know about it every day.
My kids got into this. They like to color or draw when they're – not recently, but – then they'd bring me all 4 pictures and be like, rank them.
Oh, that's tough.
And I'd rank them for real. And every time one of my kids came up 4th, and just every time, because they're like, no, you got to rank it 1, 2, 4. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And it's always the same kid. They always drop their head.
Rock?
I don't want to say, but let's just say one of them wasn't as artistic as the others.
All right. Well, you probably just ranked it last. He's like, I don't want my kid to pick up art. He's a football player. All right, big show coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Join it. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, our judges, so Craig Bullerjack will be on the program. Lana Brophy will be on the program. Hans Olsen will be one of the judges. And Jim Olsen, president of the Utah Jazz and Larry H. Miller Sports and Entertainment, will also be one of the judges. And remember, we also have Gary Anderson and Jay Hill from 11 to 12. That's a show.
What a fun day.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah, stick around with us.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.